Yeah, there is a stirring in here right now. There's a stirring in here. When the waters are stirring, begin to reach out to the Lord by your spirit. Now, without all the Christian jargons, I'm going to tell you, begin to ask God exactly what you need. Amen? Ask God what you need. Because the waters are stirring. They're turning right now. Ask. Ask. He knows what you need, but even you must cry out. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to the next slide, if you would, please. Not this one. Let's go to the purse. Backwards. All right, this Wednesday, we're having the joint services at Compassion Church. If you go to our website, you'll see it on there. If you haven't been to Compassion Church, it's the one on Thousand Oaks. We're going to get together with Pastor Adrian. Pastor John David is also going to be a part of it. Some people from his ministry is coming over. We also have Apostle Harvest is going to do the teaching on it. There is some other ministers and pastors that want to come and be a part of this because something has been stirring in the body that God has brought a door, an open door for the body of Christ. So if you can make it out, come on out. We'll celebrate together. We'll worship together. We'll hear the word of the Lord. And let's see what God wants to do. Amen. The next slide, please. Sutherland Strong, December 10th. Remember we're going out? December 10th to Sutherland to be a blessing out there. If you want to sign up to be a volunteer, see Sister Cherie. Amen. Next slide, please. Outside the Well, Project Packed Purse. Pastor Marcus McIntyre from The Well is doing an outreach with the women at Haven for Hope, correct? And they're saying, bring any of your old purses that you don't want. Now, when I say old purses, if they got holes and stains and gum and lipstick on it, shame on you. Get rid of it. Bring nice things. Amen. Well, I don't have a purse. Well, Daniel, I don't want you to bring your purse. Go buy a purse, Daniel. It doesn't have to be something extravagant. But let's bring the purses. What they're going to do is they're going to fill it with toiletries and certain things for the ladies and give it to the ladies at Haven for Hope. Okay? It's a way to be an extension for the kingdom of God and to be a blessing. So when you begin bringing them on Sundays here, Sister Cherie will take it over to Pastor McIntyre so that we can be a blessing as well to kind of sow into that outreach as well. Amen? Yes? All right, one of the sons is in the house. Come on up here, Apostle. He got ordained as an apostle a few months back. Some of you remember him as Daniel comes in. I wanted him to come, and I wanted him just to greet you, and I wanted him to share what the Lord has placed on his heart. Just real quick, I have also another speaker that will be here to minister, and you will be blessed by it. And I just want you to understand what God is doing in the lives of many people right now is making change. Amen? All right, Master Daniel, come on up here and bless them. Greet them and share what's on your heart, then I'll bring up the speaker.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 It's always good to be back in my home church. It's a blessing to come home. It's something when every time I come up here, I just cannot just come up here and just talk. Man of God. God has something so great for you. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. See, God is going to start to do things in your life that you haven't even seen. You haven't even been experienced. I just feel by the Spirit of the living God saying, get ready. Because God is about to do something in your life that you haven't even thought of. It's never even been a thought in your mind that you were going to be doing and how God was going to start using you. See, the prophetic, you can just come up here. And as I woke up this morning, God said, 1 Kings 18, as Elijah told his servant to go up. And see, you keep telling your people to go up to see something. And every time they go up, they don't see anything. See, they get discouraged. They start saying, oh, maybe this is not the place. See, Elijah gave specific instructions. He didn't sway to the left or the right. He said, go up seven times. See, sometimes they don't always do what you tell them to do, Pastor. And I don't know why I came up here to start speaking about this, but this is what the Lord is telling me to say. Amen. Amen. See, they don't always do what you tell them to do. And it's something because the mantle upon your life, they don't realize and they don't understand what you carry. They don't give honor to your mantle. They don't give honor to the man of God that God has called you to be. He ordained you a prophet. See, in the Bible, when they used to see a prophet, they didn't come empty-handed. Before they even came into the presence of God, they came with something. See, the king, before he became king, he said, I didn't even want to go. He said, there's a man of God in this city. His servant told him, he's like, well, I don't have anything to give him, so I can't even go talk to him. And people come to you for a prophetic word, like it's candy in a Cracker Jack box or something, that you're going to get something. It's not the way God works. See, there's spiritual principles that we got to abide by. And it is not something that you can just go and ask a man of God to give you a word or to pray for you and expect something. God doesn't work that way. Shame on you. Shame on you. And I'm speaking this out prophetically for those that have left. God doesn't play. He tells me that the same way. I don't play. Don't play with me. In my own prayer time. Man of God, they don't reverence the mantle that God has placed upon your life. Both of you. They don't reverence that mantle. That's why they get stuck. That's why they get discouraged. That's why after the third or fourth time they go up and they still don't see something, they take off. They're saying, peace, see you later. But if they leave, let them go. Oh, I feel the anointing. I feel the grace of God upon this house. And if you don't see it, let me tell you something. This house is blessed. This man of God is blessed. You don't understand the mantle that's upon his life. I didn't speak to him. I didn't talk to him. Nothing. I just said, I'm coming, Pastor. He said, come. That's it. But you have to learn to reverence the mantle of the man of God in the house before you can ever get blessed by him. You have to understand how to reverence the man of God. If you don't do it, you're not going to get anything from it. You will not receive what you're supposed to receive. How can you receive something from God if you don't believe God? Come on. The Bible says that. You can't get something from God if you don't believe that he is God. See, the people of Israel had promise. They had destiny. They had purpose. God pulled them out of Egypt, said, I'm taking you somewhere with milk and honey in abundance. But they couldn't get it. Why? Not even Moses, not even the man of God who didn't reverence the word of God as he struck the rock twice. And God said, only strike it once. Even the man of God that saw God face to face couldn't walk into the promise. Why? Because he didn't reverence what God told him to do. Oh my God. I feel the anointing. This is not my message. This is not what I was going to say, but I'm speaking prophetically. Can you receive that? Amen. Hallelujah. God is here. The angel of the Lord is here. There's an angel here set by assignment to speak a word. And by obedience, that word is going to do something in your life. That's when the miracle takes place. See, anytime an angel showed up, he came for a mission. He came from purpose, from God, to speak something into somebody's life. So maybe, they can do what God called them to do, right? Yeah. It's a choice. Either I'm going to take this word and I'm going to believe in it and walk in it, or I'm going to be like the man of God who didn't believe when the angel shut his mouth until the miracle took place. Amen. See, there's sometimes that people don't understand that around you, that God speaks to, and he tells them to do a thing and they don't do it. Oh, man of God, people were sent to do things for you and they didn't do what God called them to do. They fell away. But you know what? Just because they leave, God doesn't... I just see so many things for you, Pastor. And because of your obedience, God is removing you from this place. He's going to set somebody here. This is still the house of manna, still your ministry. But God's going to do something so great in your life. He's going to send you out, revivalist, proclaiming the kingdom, showing spiritual... See, what they don't understand, what so many people want the prophetic, but they don't understand the spiritual laws. See, you know. Why? Not because anybody told you or taught you. It's because God put that inside of you. You just have that understanding. See, God puts things inside of us, each and every one of us. And it's up to us to activate it. See, when the man of God went up to the mountain the seventh time, he said, I see a little cloud that looks like a hand. See those little things in your life? The little things. Don't discredit. Because God only needs the little thing to work in your life. He only needs something small to make a miracle happen in your life. He doesn't need all the band and the orchestra. He doesn't need $1 million facility to make the miracle happen in your life. He needs something little. He needs something small. But he needs you to have enough faith that when the man of God says to stand, you stand. When he says sit, you sit. When he says bring me water, bring him water. Simple. Instruction. Jesus. The little hand. It was something so small. But the prophet told the king, get up and eat. And he said, you know what? You better go down the mountain before the water overtakes you. See, the blessing of God can overtake you if you're not ready for it. Amen. And you know what? Even though Ahab, the king, did not like the prophet, had ordered men to kill him, was searching everywhere for him, he still listened to what the man of God said. Still. They don't reverence your mantle, prophet. That's why they're stuck. That's why they leave. They don't understand the mantle that's upon your life. But those that believe, something happens. Something begins to transform inside of them. They begin to change. That doesn't mean everything's perfect in your life. That doesn't mean everything is going to happen the way you want it to happen every single time. You're going to lose some. You're going to win some. You're going to get married and then get divorced. You're going to lose a business. You're going to lose money. But as long as you continue to have faith, God is going to do something so powerful in your life. He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. And everything that was behind you isn't even going to matter. Everything that you left behind you is just going to pass away. Amen? Because God does a new thing. In Isaiah 43, he says, let the old things pass. Forget about them. He said, behold. When he says behold, it means pay attention. Says, listen to what I'm about to declare in your life, because this word is going to do something. He says, I do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. See, I thought I was going to have a word for everybody else, but it's only for Pastor. The prophet is going to do a new thing in your life. See, what you think you're doing by your own will, God's making you do this. Because he didn't want to give it up. Because he wants to do something new in your life. Forget the former things. Forget the way you used to do something. God is going to use you in a different way. Your influence is changing. The dynamics of your preaching is changing. The way you see things is changing. See, you're not at the local level anymore. He's raising you up to a global level, to a higher level, governmental level. See, a manager of the field doesn't think like the manager, project manager thinks. Two different thinking. See, I'm thinking about overall cost. All he's thinking about is timelines. No more timelines. No more timelines. It's about projects. See, God's going to use you to establish projects for the kingdom. I see him putting you in places of position of authority to speak wisdom, to speak foundational truth, spiritual laws, spiritual things. See, we can't mix too much. See, we try too much to work like the world and think that God works that way. God doesn't work that way. God does not work like the world. Doesn't work that way. And as soon as we begin to understand and realize the way God works, and the way God works, then everything follows you. The Bible says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else is a bonus. He said, everything else will be added unto you, meaning everything else is going to follow you. Your blessing, your finances, your health, everything. Lionel. New job. New way of doing things. Wow. You already know, huh? This man of God. Yeah, God's calling you, Lionel. It's time, Lionel. The way you do things, finances, everything's going to change for you. As soon as you start walking in what you're supposed to do. Everything else won't work. It'll almost work, but it doesn't work. You almost have your promise, and it kind of looks like a promise, and it kind of looks like a blessing. But until you walk and do what God called you to do, see this? You're married to this. This is your wife. This is your wife. And until you do what God called you to do, just trust him a little bit. He said, I saw a hand the size, I saw a cloud the size of a hand. So you don't need a lot, Lionel. So Elijah was saying, I don't need fireworks. Something so small. And it says the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he began to run down the hill, and a supernatural power that was upon his life, he beat the king in a chariot. Did you catch it? No, they didn't catch it. I'm talking about the supernatural power of God that when he starts to be upon your life, you will do what other people couldn't do. You will start to move in a dimension. Things will start happening in your life that won't happen for other people. God will do something in your life where other people fail and other people will try and they'll fail. But God will make it happen for you. Amen. Amen. If you caught that word, I want you to run with it. Just like Elijah did. See, the hand was upon his life and he began to run with it. So I'm here to declare to you today to run with the word that God has given you. Lionel. God is going to transform you, son. Everything about you, perceptions, understandings. But what he's given you to you. That's it. Lionel, God loves you. God loves you, Lionel. God loves you, Pastor. God loves his house. God loves his house. God loves this house. See, there's so many ministries that don't have the anointing. So many ministries that are dead. So many ministries that teach the wrong things. And people flock to them. People flock to these places that are dead. And they're filled. And they have huge auditoriums. And they go hear people sing. And it's not even anointed. No anointing. I sit there so bored. And I'm wondering, Lord God, please save these people because they are so blind. And they're so dead. It's spiritual drought. They go and they hear the word. Yes, the word of God is powerful. I'm not taking away from the word of God. But God has called us to something more. God has called us to something more. See, let me tell you about the difference between the devil and Jesus Christ. Of course, one's light, one's darkness, easy, right? Let me tell you. The devil knows knowledge. He tricked the man and the woman to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the enemy knows knowledge. He knows the book. He knows words. He's been here a long time, even before we were here. Understand? But in the book of Revelation, there's a key. It said the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. It means to do something. See, when God calls those things that be not as though they were, see, the devil can't understand that. He said, where is it written, right? He doesn't understand those things. He doesn't understand the prophetic spirit and the move of how God works and how God moves, how he changes things. He makes the crooked places straight, baby. Come on. He does things in power and anointing that the devil gets upset. The devil gets upset because he can't change your life. He can't take you out as long as God's prophetic word is in your life and he's speaking prophetically. So many people at church die because they don't receive a word. They don't believe. Ah. Sorry, Pastor. God is good, amen? This house is blessed, amen? And because you're here, God loves you. See, God sends everybody, especially when you come into this house, because you have destiny. You have greatness in each and every one of you. Even the older people. I see old and young moving in the prophetic and the miraculous. And I'm not talking about words of knowledge or prophesying. No, the prophetic just means the power of God to do something. It means God has ordained you and put something inside of you that you can do something. Something that God saw in his heart for you to do. He wants all good things for you. He wants good things. And he'll take something negative that happens in your life and he'll turn it into a positive. Amen. Am I speaking? I'm not here to cheerlead. I'm not here. I'm just here to speak what God is speaking under the anointing. Because outside of the anointing, I am nothing. Had no word today. I woke up. I prayed. I said, Lord, if you're going to use me, use me. If not, I'll just sit down and receive whatever you have for me, Lord. But I know God has a mission for every person in this house. It transformed my life. I'm the kid that used to sit in the back with a hoodie on, never spoke in tongues, didn't know what the prophetic was, drank on the weekends, chased women. Got to be transparent, right, Pastor? But now God changed my life. He spoke something into my life. He had something better for me. It wasn't sitting just in the back. It wasn't out in the world. It was doing something for him, giving testimony of his goodness, speaking his word and his truth. Because what God says about you will supersede what anybody else says about you. Yes, people can put word curses. And that black magic stuff works. until the man of God comes, until the anointing comes and breaks the yoke. Amen. See, people have come into your ministry trying to bring you down, Pastor. But God said it ain't going to happen. They can leave and they can go. But where God's called you to go, see, there's something Moses, Moses, you love this people. Just like you love your people, Pastor. But because God loves you so much, He's removing you and placing you a place of higher influence, right? It's time for you to go to your next level. That's why the son's preaching. That's why the son's preaching. It's time for the man of God to go to his next level. God is just setting it up. Now you're comfortable? Okay. Now this is what I have for you. See, I got this all day. That's what God says. This church is going to grow. It's going to prosper. It's going to blossom. People are going to come and go. But one thing God said is I'm taking you somewhere that you've never been, you've never experienced. Wow. And it's because of her prayers. Mommy, God bless you. Every seed that you've sowed was a seed for his life. Every other person that you helped and prayed for was for his life and his ministry. Everybody else, the more you poured out and did and helped people, was for your son, for your generation, and for the generations to follow, for your grandchildren, for the children's children. See, the blessing is generational. As you do for others, God will do for your family. And that's why God has put so much favor on the man of God. See, that's a spiritual principle. And you got to understand that. Because if it's always me, 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 it only goes so far. See, everywhere I go, I never take an offering. I never ask for that. I let the house do that. I said, I'm just going to go and preach my heart out, God. I'm going to serve you and do what you called me to do. No matter if it means leaving my friends behind, my family behind. See, I'm in Dallas, no family. Going home to a lonely house every single day. I'm like, Lord, why? In my flesh. But then God starts to speak to me. He says, remember that person you prayed for at the store? Remember that young kid that you lay hands on at the gas station? He said, that's why. So I need you to start showing people my love and what I have for them. Because what they're getting behind the pulpit sometimes isn't truth. It binds them up. It locks them into. It limits my power and my ability to work in their life. See, you have a house here that promotes God working in your life and God doing the things He can do for your life. This house promotes it. This house encourages it. This house prays for that to happen. Sister Katrina. Blessed woman of God. Amen. 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 Pastor. I'm going to stop. Can I just pray for you guys? As I release this word, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for this house. Lord, I ask that you just give this house even more, Heavenly Father. More anointing, Lord. More power, Lord. More demonstration, Lord. More of your love, Lord God. More of your presence, Lord. Lord, because that's what the man of God wants from this house, is your presence above all. Your love above all. Lord, I thank you for this house. Lord, I pray for every person in this house, Lord God, that they receive this word, Heavenly Father, and they begin to run, Heavenly Father, as the prophet began to run because your hand was upon his life. Let them run with this word, Heavenly Father. Let them run with the anointing and the power that you have given them, Lord God. Let them achieve everything, Lord, that you have for them to achieve. Lord, remove every obstacle, Lord. Remove every lie. Heavenly Father, just do the miraculous right now in their life as a miracle. miracles begin to take place, Heavenly Father. I release the anointing that breaks every yoke, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let the Spirit touch and fall on every person here today, Lord. I call the fire of God to destroy every work of the enemy. Father, let every lie fall to the ground. Father, let the fire not only promote them, Heavenly Father, but let the fire make way. Heavenly Father, let the fire come down of heaven. Father, let the anointing destroy every yoke. And Lord, let the word go forth. Let it open every door. Let it open every door. Let it ever open every door for blessing, for prosperity, for elevation, Lord, for breakthrough, for healing. Lord, I thank you that every door be open, Lord, by your hand. Shut every door to the enemy, Lord. Father, I thank you for the blessing. I thank you for the testimony and miracle that will happen today, Lord. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' almighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. When the prophetic begins to move, it is the Spirit of God, a prophecy that goes forth. A lot of confirmation, a lot of things that this come forth. I haven't spoken to Daniel concerning ministry. Haven't spoken to him about that. Most of the time I'm talking to him about him, being a father to him. So I knew when he was here and he had something in his spirit just to share. That song that we heard with Pastor Clint Brown and Marvin Winans, Send the Rain, I just put that on this morning and I put it on the playlist because I really feel that that's for the people of God. I really feel that God's about to rain on your circumstance. Amen. Is going to rain on your circumstance. What was once hard and dry is about to become pliable and saturated, and it's going to increase in your life. Amen? At this time, I want to bring up my cousin Lionel to come and minister the word, and I want to share with you how this has been transpiring. Lionel, you can come up, Lionel. He used to do tithes and offering for us. He would come and minister for me, and I told the Lord, you know what, God? If you have something in his heart that he's going to minister, I want him now to come to me. During his prayer time, he's telling God, tell Pastor Marty to come if this is really what you want. Tell Pastor Marty to come and tell me. And I'm telling God, God, tell him to come tell me. So on Sunday, he comes up to me. He says, man, I've had this for 3 weeks, and I just feel it's time. I've got something for the house. I said, all right, good. You're here next Sunday. You're going to minister Sunday. I said, because I've been praying for you to come to me and tell me. That's when he tells me, but I've been praying that you would come and ask me. So I want you, sir, to go ahead and minister the word and bless the people of God, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Marty. How are we doing today? And Daniel just came out of nowhere, right? Just blew fire. He said, this is my wife. I thought she was going to have longer hair, but okay. Leaned out to my understanding. And, man, let's start with a prayer, ladies and gentlemen, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, just help me to preach this word, Father, how you want me to preach it. Help me to just stay on task, stay focused, Father, and just, I got my notes, Father, but I'm relying on your notes, Father, your divine order, Father. Guide this tongue how you want it to be preached, Father. Just in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Woo, all right, well, let's start. I'm going to be reading from Luke 16. 11 through 19. And I'm going to start with a story. My son, this is where all this came from. a few years ago in the other church we were at. It was a Sunday. It was right. The next day was going to be the starting of school. Okay. And, you know, I was going through some financial, you know, difficulty, and I didn't have enough money to get my kids anything for school. And it was bothering me a lot. It was really bothering me. And I had my tithe, and I was thinking, well, you know, if I skip church, I could take my tithe money, and I could buy some shoes, you know what I mean? And I thought about that for a good while, and then I thought, no, that just it didn't settle right, you know what I mean? It didn't settle right. So I went to church. I dropped my tithe, and I had a little bit of an attitude, you know, because I was thinking, Lord, you're supposed to be my provider. You know, how am I can't even get anything for my kids. And so went to church, dropped my tithe, and then I got into my truck, and I had these tickets for Splashtown, right? And the Lord said, why don't you go take them tickets to Splashtown and see what you can get for them? So I was like, all right. So now I'm scalping tickets, right? So I go, and I'm haggling with this dude. The tickets are, you know, they're $80. I'm haggling with this guy. He gave me $75. I'm like, all right, I'll take it. I go call my kids. Hey, man, look, I can't get y'all some clothes. How about some shoes? We'll go get some shoes. Let's see what we can see. You ever say that to your kids? Let's see what we can see. And so we go, and, you know, so I had $150. That was the budget, right? So we go. And right away, my girls find something. You know, they're real easy. You know, they find their things. You know, they found sales and stuff, real good. You know, but my son, he's a different case. You know what I mean? He requires a little more. A little more. So I go with him, and we find a nice pair of shoes. You know what I mean? Some black suede Nikes with the old school strap. You know what I mean? And $79.99, right? They was on sale. So get the shoes. I'm feeling a little bit better about myself. Like, okay, you know, I'm not such a bummy dad. I got him some shoes at least, you know. And as I'm dropping them off, you know, saying bye to my girls. And my son, before he gets out, he's like, Dad, I know this was hard for you. And I just want to say thanks. And, of course, you know, I'm like, oh, man, get out of here, dog, you know. Close the door. You're letting the AC out. Come on. Because I'm trying to be tough. I'm trying to have that tough exterior. And there's this long road after I drop my kids off because they live out there by church. And there's this long road, and just something just started to happen to me. I started to cry. No, this is real. This is true. I started to cry. I was driving, and that long stretch road was a little watery, and I had to pull over. And it was like the walls of Jericho were just crumbling around my heart. I was like, why am I whimpering like a baby? I couldn't control it. And I'm just so beautiful, my son. Thank you. I mean, how many parents in here have your kids tell you thank you for anything? It's a rarity, okay? And, you know, the things I do, I don't do it for thanks. You know what I mean? It's a thankless job being a father. But when you do say thank you, man, it really, boom, it hit me hard, bro. I mean, it was just like a gut shot. It was just like, ugh. And I had just enough money to go to a dollar menu McDonald's and get me, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I didn't have, you know, I wanted to go eat Olive Garden, but I couldn't. I had to eat McDonald's, but it's okay because I made the sacrifice for my kids, right? So what I'm getting at is it was the thank you. It hit me so hard, right, that it stuck with me for a long time, for years, actually. It was just, I couldn't get it out of my head. It just struck me. So I was reading the Bible, and, you know, if you're like me, I read the Bible, and I come across characters in the Bible, and I try to liken myself to them, like, you know, if I'd been Job, you know what I mean? I might have cursed God, I don't know, because I'm not that strong, you know? The boils, you know what I mean? I might have just been like, you know, when it comes to, you know, Samson and Delilah. If I was Samson, I like to think that I could have said to Delilah, like, look, babe, you know, you got to go, you know, you trouble, you just no good for me, right? You know, this is real talk to myself. This is real talk, like, you know what I mean? Like, look, baby, like, it just ain't gonna work, you know? And all these characters, and all these characters are so astronomical, you know what I mean? Like, I imagine, but there's just one character in the Bible who I want to read about, and it's in Luke. I don't know if we can get that up there. Yeah, here we go. And I'll begin to read. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There he met him 10 men. I want you to remember that, 10. And they were lepers. Now, so it's kind of like this. So I'm Jesus, right? And I'm coming into the village, right? So y'all are the village. Hello, village. And off to the side, there's 10 men. I go, Alan, you're going to represent those 10 men, right? And they're waving to Jesus. Can you wave to Jesus? Hey. And they're telling Jesus, we have leprosy. Can you help us? Right? They're yelling. Now, these are Sumerians. Now, Sumerians and the Jews didn't get along for whatever reason. I'm not sure what their history was. But they didn't like each other. And it was odd that these men would yell at the king of the Jews. But desperation will make you do some things, right? And he saw them. And here it says, they stood at a distance, and he called out loud, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And it says, go and show yourselves to the priests. Just like that, they were healed. They didn't have to, he didn't hakaloogie into some mud and rub it on themselves. No dipping 3 times in the Jordan, right? No pick up your mat, nothing. Just straight up healed. Just turn around and like, oh, just healed. Fast. That's how fast Jesus can move in your life with healing. Amen? Amen. So, out of these 10 men, only one comes back. And he is thankful. Because now he can date. No, I'm just kidding. Just a joke. But, come on now. He's leprosy. You're not going to get a lot of action with. So, he's very thankful. He throws himself on the feet of Jesus. And this is the character who I try to have. Can I be like this guy? Would I be thankful enough to Jesus if he healed me? If Jesus gave me something that I prayed and asked for, would I even be thankful? Or would I be like the other 9 dudes that just rolled out with their healing? You know what I mean? And I try to identify. I'm not trying to defend what they did, but you know, you just never know. I mean, they were Sumerians. Maybe they thought like Mexicans, because with Mexicans, well, you're like, hey, I'm gonna give you $100, and you're like, why? Why didn't you give me $100? That sounds fit. No, and you know what I'm saying? Like, they probably walked away like, hey, are we healed? I don't know, man. Just keep walking. So, then where did Johnny go? He's going back there to say thanks, but I don't know. I don't know about all that. So those 9 dudes that rolled out, you know what I mean? They could have came back and said thank you. And maybe they wanted to. Who knows? Maybe when they got to a certain place, like, man, I wish I went back and said thank you to that guy. And I like to think that I would be that one. Okay, I'm going to break away from the Bible now to tell. It's going to be woven in, trust me. Does anybody know what a 1%er is? 1%er? The motorcycle gangs? Anybody? Well, a long time ago, before like big time motorcycle gangs started, in the military, motorcycles were used, you know, for getting mail across and stuff like that. And a lot of the men who had encounters with these motorcycles, they loved them. They loved riding them, so that when service was over, they did what they could to get the motorcycles, you know, back to, you know, civilian life. They would smuggle them illegally, or, you know, at worst case scenario, they would learn how to, you know, make them themselves. You know what I'm saying? So what would happen is that, you know, you had all these guys that would ride motorcycles together, and, you know, some of them had built them, some of them had bought them, and, you know, they do these things together as a group, right? And for the most part, motorcycle riding started off as just like a something you did as on the weekends, you know, feel the wind in your hair and stuff like that, right? Well, at some point, a one percenter was called out because some of these guys were rough. By that, I mean they like to fight, they like to carry knives, they like to do drugs, they like to drink. And so it was asked that, you know, are all you guys that ride motorcycles, are all y'all like that? I'm like, no, not all of us. But there's 1% of us that like to get rowdy, that like to sell meth and kick puppies and do whatever that, you know, bikers do, right? And so 1%er became the standard. Everybody wanted to be a 1%er. Everyone started being more, you know, bad, a word I can't say in church. But, you know, they started to be more bad. And everybody wanted to be that. No one wanted to be like the other, just bike riders. They wanted to be a 1%er, yeah, because that was the thing to be, right? And that's what this guy was when he came back. He represented the 1%, 1 out of 10, 1%. If we take this church, who among us would open that door and give praise for something that they've been praying for? Oh, I recognize that. This is exactly what I prayed for. Would you give thanks? Or would you just ride off in your Ferrari and just be like, thanks, Lord. And be like the 9 that rolled out. You know, it's hard because I've asked myself that question. And I've been blessed. I've gotten things I've prayed for. And a lot of times, I don't even remember if I said thanks. So I've tried to train myself to be thankful. To represent that 1%. Because I wanted to be a 1%er. I wanted to be that guy that gave thanks for everything. When I went to live with my aunt, and she had a spiritual boot camp for the lost, and I was taught so much, you know what I mean? You know, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and the shoes of the Spirit, and the belt of truth, and the helmet of salvation, and there was just so much to learn, and, you know, I didn't really take it all in at first, and I moved out, and I took all the stuff that I learned, and I got to my apartment, and I started unloading things, and one of the things my aunt had told me was that you should just be thankful in the morning before your feet hit the ground. Before your feet hit the ground, you should already enter his presence with thanksgiving, right? And in the beginning, I mean, I felt I messed that up because I would wake up and I'd go to the bathroom and then I'd be like, oh, man, my feet hit the ground. Oh, I didn't even give thanks. Oh, this day's going to be ruined. Do I give double thanks tomorrow? Oh, being a Christian is just so hard. I don't know what to do. And really all it was just before you reach for your phone, before you activate anything that needs to be activated, before you plug and log on and see who called, thank the Lord for a good day, right? As if it was. Don't start like, oh, man, today's Monday. Going to be a long week to Friday, you know what I'm saying? And like that's not the way to start the week because you don't know that your blessings could come on that day. Amen? It's funny because I kept hearing while Marty was up here a door, you know, doors that will be open, and I felt like this guy in the Bible who came back to Jesus, he opened a door because he came back. Amen. And ever since I read that, I've wanted to just be thankful for everything. I mean, every little thing. I'm talking that the shoelaces on my shoes. I'm talking just, you know, the ice in my soda. Amen. I just every little thing because I want to show him that I can be responsible for whatever he's going to bless me with. Amen. That I'm not just going to take it and run off like the 9. That I'm going to be thankful. And it's not that hard. I mean, you just got to recognize what he's blessed you with. Amen. Yes. That door opening. When I was young, I used to love, well, I still do, I love hip-hop, right? And when I was young in the 90s, there was all kinds of hip-hop, man. You had, you know, fun hip-hop, you know, you had dance hip-hop, you know, you had love hip-hop, you know what I mean? You had all kinds of categories, right? You know what I mean? And along came a group, and they too were from a certain village, from Compton, or Compton, maybe? And when they kicked open the door for gangster rap, everybody wanted to be a gangster rapper then. There was no longer any more fun rap and party rap. It was all just gangster rap. Everybody wanted to be in a 6'4", and they wanted to have a gun, and they wanted to slap the women's and stuff like that. And that opened the door, and they represented a 1%. And I mentioned these things. They're like, man, why are you talking about, you know, NWA and biker gangs, Lionel. I'm trying to show you that if you take that, you know what I mean, and use what they opened the door. Let this guy open the door for you, so you can enter his presence thankfully. Because when you're thankful for the little, he'll bless you with the much. Amen. I mean, little for like. Thank you for this apartment. Oh, he's thankful for the apartment. Imagine when I bless him with a house. Boom! You're going to be thankful then? Amen? Enter his presence with thanksgiving. That's how you get more. That's how I've been able to obtain the more in my life. Because there have been times when I haven't had much, and I've just had to reach down and say, oh, were you thankful? You know? I don't have an apartment right now, but, you know, I'm staying with my cousin, and I'm just thankful that he's got this couch that folds out into a bed, and he's got these extra pillows with the clean sheets on them. You know what I mean? And it won't be long before he'll take your situation, and whatever your situation is. Who am I speaking to today? Whatever your situation is right now, you can turn it around by just being thankful. You don't like the shoes on your feet? That's fine. Clean them up. Put them in your closet the right way. You know what I mean? Don't kick them off and just throw them. Like, man, I want some new shoes and just, you know what I mean? You kick them off and you got to find the other one. No. Take them off right. Place them where they're supposed to be. Right? And when he sees you taking care of those, then he's going to bless you with some more. Amen? We all want to be blessed. I know I do. I wake up every morning just like, man, where's my Ferrari? Where's my jet skis? You know what I mean? Because I'm believing. This is what I'm believing for. And it's not wrong to want these things. I know a lot of times, like, well, you know, what are you talking about? Jet skis, you know, Christians don't need jet skis. You don't know. I might not walk on water, but I, you know, race across it, bro. Amen? Hey. They go, Lionel, he blessed. No. So before your feet hit the ground, in the morning, give thanks. Give thanks for the little, so that we can be blessed with the much. Because we all want much. There's not one person here that's just, oh, I'm thankful for the little bit, and I don't need no more. I'm good. I'm humble. He promises you mansions in heaven, and he says we're all royalty. And I don't know about you, but to me, royalty is royalty. I think they have the good stuff, and I like the good stuff. And doesn't Jesus promise you a better quality of life? Right? Better quality. What does that mean? A hamburger, and then you got a steak. Right? So, you know what I'm saying? If you're living a hamburger life, you can be thankful for the steak that's coming. Amen? Amen. One percenter. That's what I want you to leave here today. Not to join a motorcycle gang, but to be, we can all be that one percenters, right? And just be thankful. And throw ourselves so humble. Daniel came over here and got on his knees and began praising. That's the way to do it right there. That's a perfect example. get on your knees and give thanks for the little bit of health you do have. For the little bit of the health you do have. Because, you know, I think of those lepers. I mean, this was leprosy. This wasn't like eczema or, you know, a cold. This was leprosy, dude. This was like all over you and it was bad. And like I said, you know, the dating scene for the lepers just wasn't all that great. I know that's just, you know, anyway. So you want to be thankful when he does do something and notice when he does something. Man, when my son said, "Dad, I know it's hard on you. And, you know, thanks." I was crying like a baby. And I couldn't control it because I didn't want to cry. I don't like crying. My eyes get all wide. I can't see. I feel like I'm an ugly crier. So I didn't want to be crying. And I felt so soft and sensitive in the moment that I felt like I lost my masculinity, you know what I mean? And I was glad that no one saw me do it. But it wasn't until later after I calmed down and was like and was like, okay, like why did that hit me so hard? Like, what's wrong with me? And then it was the Holy Spirit that said, no, that's what it's like when you give thanks. How much more is it good to our Heavenly Father when we give thanks to Him? How does it make Him feel when we give thanks? Lord, I give thanks for this job. You know, I give thanks for these kids, even though they don't listen all the time. You know, I do give thanks for them. And, you know, amen? You know what I mean? Because who has perfect kids? No one? Maybe, no, okay. So, I wanted to be like that guy. I wanted to be a one percenter for Jesus. And I would constantly remind myself, like, did you give thanks? What happened today that you prayed for or that was good to you? That you just picked up and shoved in your face and started eating or whatever and started being, because to think like that is to think spiritually, right? Because you got to be in the spirit to think like that. You got to think, oh, man, what was so good to me today? And maybe it wasn't much. Maybe it was just the fact that nothing happened. Hey, no news is good news. Sometimes if it's quiet and just still, that's a nice, peaceful day. And that's something you should be thankful for. Amen? A one percenter for Jesus. To the point where they see you, to where you open that door. When I saw Daniel on his knees, I was like, man, that's awesome. Man, that's the way to do it right there. On your knees, you know what I mean? When I come to church a lot, I see Inez praising the Lord, and she's all loud. She's all, yes! I'm not making fun of you. I'm actually envious because something in my spirit says, I want to praise like that. I want to be just as thankful like that. I want to be just as loud like that. I want to show Jesus that I am thankful, that I too can be like Inez. And yes! And whenever she's yelling, I try, yeah! I'm right behind her, yeah! And when she sits down, it's time to sit down. Because she opens that door. She has set the standard for how to praise and for what to do. Amen? And you know, when we come to church, if you're like me, I don't know what to do. You know, like Daniel said, I used to hang at the back of the, you know, I used to love hanging at the back, you know, just chilling. No one would see when I roll in late, you know what I mean? Kind of roll out early if I had, you know, the game and stuff. And just come and go. And then little by little, you know, Spirit dragged me over here and stuff. But I'm thankful because it was necessary. It had to happen that way. You got to start somewhere. Amen? One percenter for Jesus. To be thankful for what you have. Not too many people are. I mean, I come across people all the time, and they got things and stuff, and then they complain about the most obscure things. And I'm like, but you have your health. You know, you have a job, you have your car, you have, you know, you have two legs, two arms, two eyes. You know, I and these are the things that I notice for them. And I try to point them out when I discuss them. A lot of times they don't see it because, you know, they don't really get it spiritually. You know what I mean? What do you mean thank the Lord for something I haven't received as if it was, but even though it's not? And you know what I mean? I've never really gotten that either. But I exercise it because I've seen it work. I've been there. And I'm not there yet, but I want to be in a place where I know that I can just, at the drop of a dime, just recognize, that's a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Boom. You know what I mean? I was on it. You know what I mean? Because look at the way he blessed these guys. Go and tell the priests. And just like that, just go and tell the priests. You're good. And if Jesus moves that fast in their lives, he can move that fast in yours. Amen? We all want that lightning fast Jesus prayer answer, you know, with that real fast, like lightning, bam. And it can come that fast. But are you going to be thankful for it? Are you going to appreciate it? Are you even going to notice it? Or are you going to think it's going to come from the government? You know what I mean? Where does your help come? You know, because I know where my source is. And it doesn't come in the mail like that. It comes from above. From places I wasn't even expecting. A lot of times it comes through people who I don't even like. That's how you know it's God. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The owner of the place where I work, you know, we never really got along. Didn't see eye to eye. But it wasn't too long ago. He lent me $100 and I didn't have to pay him back. He said, no, I give you $100. And I could have sworn he didn't like me. And I might even venture to say, no, okay, never mind. But the thing was, I was thankful. Thankful that I had, you know, an owner that would notice me and say, hey, you short on your rent? Here's $100. Amen? 1%er. That 1% that says, thank you. Thank you for everything. Not just the... Before your feet hit the ground, you know, there's a couple of things you can say. You can get biblical. You know, you can be like, Lord, thank you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know, and Lord, thank you that this is the day the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't really know what that means, but I recite it, right? Amen? You don't have to know. Amen? Can I just say something? You know how, like, when you speak to plants, a lot of people say that when you talk into a plant and the plant grows and everyone's like, oh, plants. It's not about that. It's because of what comes out of your mouth is carbon dioxide, right? And then the plants give off oxygen. So it's a cycle. You know what I'm saying? And even though it doesn't matter what you're saying, it's just the fact that you're saying it. It's the fact that something's coming out of your mouth. There's life. You don't have to always understand it. And that plant's growing and you're helping that plant to grow, right? The same way can happen with the Bible. You don't have to understand everything that's being said. All these things that are, if you just say them, you will breathe life into your situation and not even know it. Amen? Because that's the power of the Bible. That's the power of the word. Life. To breathe life into a dead situation. Anybody here have a dead situation you want to breathe life into? Then begin giving thanks. Like I said, you can be, you know, spiritual. Lord, thank you for that. You have gone across and made the crooked way straight. And okay, that's cool. But why not just talk real, right? So there's sometimes I just wake up, Lord, you know, I got to go work with that girl today. And just, if you can just keep that big mouth closed, Lord, so that I can get through my day, that'd be so great. Just zip it. Zip it up. And that's real talk. Because you can go either way. You can get personal, you can get biblical. Either way works. Amen? Amen. To be thankful. To give thanks. I would even sometimes sing a little song to myself to where it would remind me to be thankful, right? And I would say, like, Lionel, don't forget to say thank you. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to say thank you. Don't forget to say thank you, thank you. Say now, thank you, Jesus. Come on now. Come on. I want you to know. I say, I want you to know right now. Yeah. You've been good to your baby. Better than you've been to yourself. Hey. Yeah. And he'll never leave you. You don't need nobody else. Yeah. Yeah. Don't forget to say thank you. Woo! And I would sing that to myself whenever something would happen in my life that was good. Lionel, did you give thanks? I go, I don't know, did I? I don't know. We'll give thanks again. Hurry up. Come on, dog. And I would just be on it. And my life has been a better quality because of it. And I have so many more good days than I do bad. And a lot of people always ask me, like, Lionel, how are you always just so happy? And it's the Lord. He's blessed me with another good day. And if you take a brick and you just lay it all out, I mean, and you look back, you'll see a long row of good days. And even in the bad days, you'll be blessed with that silver lining that gets you through it. Amen? He can be your cloud by day and your cloud by night in the desert, providing shade for you, providing warmth for you in the night. In your desert experience, because we're all going to go through a desert experience. If you haven't, you're going to. I'll tell you what. Long suffering, you ever heard of that one? Yeah, it's not a popular one, but it's in there. Long suffering. I mean, that don't end. But that's there to strengthen us, right? Can anybody describe what Jesus' apartment looked like? Did he have a widescreen? No, he didn't even have a place to lay his head. Right? That's what the Bible says. The birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But yet, all of us have somewhere to lay our heads tonight. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Right? I thank you, Lord, for that pillowcase that got my drool all over it. That's mine. And I have somewhere to lay my head, and I'm thankful, and I give thanks for that because I want to enjoy more of those days, and you can extend that, and I feel that when you do that, you take control of your situation day by day. Don't try and worry about next month and oh man next month this and you jumping ahead, just one day at a time. Take that one day, make it a good day. Next. One day, make it a good day before your feet hit the ground. Okay? Amen? Enter his presence with thanksgiving and you will go far. And don't forget to say thank you. Don't forget to say thank you. Say it now. Thank you, Jesus. Come on now. Come on. I want you to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want you to know right now. See, I write the song to myself so that I can be aware. Like the way we write notes, got to get milk and eggs. You know what I mean? We all need reminders. Let this be a reminder for you to give thanks. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to stop right there. To hand the mic over to my favorite cousin.
Hallelujah. The one percenter. 1%. Truth be told, that if all the church people all across the land would just tithe, we would end the national debt. Bottom line. The church would be in its original state, in its original position to help people. But true statistics show that in churches, great, small, big at large, only less than 3% tithe. The rest just throw a little crumb to the Lord. But if you're really thankful and you're really grateful, I want to put your attention real quick. Go back to the last slide that we had up there. I want to show you something in this word, and it'll make sense to you why it was important for that one to come back. I want you to see this, is that one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God. What did it say? A loud voice. Go back to the one previous, the beginning of the scripture. Watch this. At the very beginning, now he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He said it right. There was Jews and there were Samaritans. They did not get along. They did not get along. But isn't it interesting that even in your stress and even in your situations, that you'll find yourself collectively with people that are suffering? You speak the same language. The suffering. Now watch this. That, and as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance because it's the law. They had to stand at a distance. They couldn't come near him. But here's what it said. Watch. And they called out with what? A loud voice. Were they already healed? No. Leprosy was also one of the things that kept you from being able to speak. The actual disease of leprosy had not just the boils, but it closed up your windpipes that you couldn't speak. You couldn't shout. So when it says that they shouted, it wasn't a shout audibly. It was a whisper that they could only muster up. Hear this. They could only muster up enough strength. Lord, have pity on us. But he heard the whisper. But to Jesus, it was a loud voice. But to everybody else around them, it was a whisper. So when they went on, the Bible says that they went on and he said, go show yourself to the priest. As they were going, they were healed. But the one turned around. Watch this. This is what I don't want you to miss. Is that 1% that came back went to him. Not only did he get his miracle of healing, physical, the physical blessing, but what came next is the most powerful thing that you're ever going to read in this scripture. It wasn't a Jew that came back. It was a Samaritan. It was one that was outside of the actual clan of God, if you would, that came back to give thanks in a way of worship that he, when he came back with a loud voice, he came into himself with a voice that could be heard, and the action that was done, everybody heard around him. What took place is now that when he was at a distance and he whispered that God could hear, now he could come and shout that everybody else could hear. Why? Because he knew how to worship the one that brought healing to him. The moment that he bowed down at his feet, it says, he bowed down at his feet. Now you can get the proximity has changed. Watch it. The distance has now changed. When you used to worship from afar, when you have an encounter, you get closer to Jesus. And when you have an encounter with Jesus, not only are you able to get closer to him, but you're able to get saved internally. Oh, yeah, but hear this. This was speaking of salvation. That it wasn't just for your physical blessing that you're in need of. It was for your soul to be transformed, that your mind was going to be renewed, that your emotions were going to be in check, and your will was no longer going to be your own. It was going to be God's will. See, when he came to that place, that 1% was truly transformed because he had an understanding. It wasn't just about the physical blessing. It wasn't about getting the money. It wasn't about just being healed. It was about understanding who he really is. But why wasn't the Jews the one that turned back? And they had all the writings. They had the scriptures. But it was the one Samaritan that had no business being anywhere near him. The God says, I know what that law says, but I'm above the law. I have fulfilled the law. What they have called unclean and dirty and said that you're unworthy to come, because the encounter that you have puts you right in position. Are you going to be that 1%? Are you going to be that 1%? I will always give thanks. Hallelujah. Will you always give thanks?
Yes.
Good. Let's stand on your feet so we can give thanks. Give me that instrumental. Hallelujah. Bud, it's good to see you and your babies with you, man. It's good to see you, man. Blessings to you. Blessings. Growing so fast, but yet with the hand of God on their life, it is truly a blessing to see you stand there with your dad in the very presence of God. This too shall pass, bud. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Mondo, it's good to see you, man. It's good to see you. It's been a long time. Long time. The distance that I see between you and your son, I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm going to bring a closeness to you. In him. A real closeness. Where everything that he has held against you will be uprooted and removed. A real clarity is coming to him. And a true encounter is about to take place in his life. I bless you, sir. I bless you. As you're standing right now, I want you to just close your eyes, bow your head. And Lord, pray a simple prayer, but it's a powerful one. I want you just to open up your hearts. Open up your hearts. And let the King of Glory come in. Father, in the precious name of your Lord Jesus, we thank you for each and every individual that is here today. Those that are listening by way of podcast or by the video on YouTube. Lord, I just thank you for each and every individual. I thank you that you have blessed them beyond measure. Now I speak unto their spirit man right now. The spirit man that may have been wrapped up in grave clothes like Lazarus was wrapped up in grave clothes. I speak to the dead things in your life. And I call you to come forth. And I command those around you to remove the grave clothes off of your life. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the life that is a resurrection power. Come forth and begin to bring into existence that which you have spoken over their life, whether through the written word or through the rhema word. Lord, I thank you for the blessing that you have upon their life. I thank you that their eyes of their understanding are open and the true wisdom of God flow in. Renew their mind and charge their spirit. We thank you for the increase, O God, and we thank you for the encounters. Let them be that 1%, Father, that always gives thanks to you. We thank you for them now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. I bless you. I love you. We'll see you Wednesday at Compassion Church for the combined service. And then Sunday, I'm going to minister a word to you that the Lord has been putting in my heart for the past 2 weeks. And it's going to bless you. Amen. Amen. But before you leave and get out of here, make sure you're hugging your neighbor and say, be that 1%er. Amen. God bless you. Love you. We'll see you next week.